Well, we have a real special treat tonight. Regina, I heard my sister are friends, and I have known of her for like years. But it wasn't until recently, right before my dad went home to be with the Lord, we were at the Copeland's meetings together, and she gave me her CD, which is available to you all. And don't mind me when I sing with her tonight. Just don't listen. Don't turn this on. That got me through some very intense times in my life, and she was here for my dad's homegoing. She sang. But she has a very strong ministry gift. And, the way it is when we have someone, this is her first time to minister here. You do not have time to check her out. I've already checked her out. She's great. And so all you got to do is go. So whatever she wants to do tonight, whatever the Holy Ghost wants her to do, I just want you to flow with her. And let's add our supply of the Spirit. We believe, God, that she's going to make full proof of the ministry that God has for her in this house tonight. And you're going to get everything you need. Amen. The doors of utterance are open for her, but even though they're open for her, are you going to be receiving? Are y'all going to be receiving? Are you going to be pulling? So if she has some notes to take, you're going to take them. If she preaches and runs around the room, you're all going to follow. Hallelujah. Whatever happens, are y'all in? Y'all in? Hallelujah. Cornerstone, let's welcome Regina, Reverend Regina Jola.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate you so much. Thank you. Amen. Yes, thank you. Well, hallelujah. It's an honor to be here with you all and with the Garvers. And I was thinking about what I was going to say about them, and I was going to say just about the same thing, that I've known them for years, and from a distance we have many mutual friends and connections, but just recently reconnected with them. But you all are well spoken of, just so you know. Your name is good out there, and people know about you, and they know that good things are happening in Madison, right? Madison, Alabama. Yes. And so so it's just a tremendous honor to be here with you and to be a part of, get to be a part and witness what God is doing and to speak into your lives tonight. So I'm going to start out on this microphone. Is this microphone on? There we are. And we're going to sing a couple songs off of the CD that I put out last year. And just a little background to the project. Some people thought when I put out a CD that I was launching my solo career in music and trying to make it big. And that's not at all my goal. My goal is to get songs out into the body that are pure word, that carry revelation. And so I feel like we just kind of put our foot in our toes in the water, so to speak. And so that was our beginnings of that. And I believe the Lord's going to give us more songs to record and to release. And believing God for songs for the body to sing corporately that have a touch of faith and the Holy Ghost on them. Amen. And so, and I'm believing that not just for me. I'm believing that for the body of Christ. I'm exercising my faith for that, for worship leaders, for the psalmists and the minstrels who are called to the body of Christ for this time and this day to be singing songs from heaven. Amen. I mean, just like we don't expect our pastor to show up with an old message, we expect him to have a fresh word from heaven. Amen. That leads us in the season that we're in, that speaks to us in the season and the time that we're in. Well, just like there are messages for now, for today, for tomorrow, for this time, there are songs for today. There are songs for now, and they're heavenly songs. They're not a sound of the soul. It's a sound of the Spirit that's birthed out of truth. And so I'm going to sing the song tonight, and I believe it'll bless you. You can sing along with me. And it says, I have victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I am seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, far above defeat in this covenant. I
am reigning like a king. This life is for the redeemed. I am seated above principalities. I am seated far above disease. In this covenant, I'm in you and you're in me. This life is for the redeemed. Jesus, I have victory, victory in him. I have victory, victory in Jesus. I have victory, victory, victory. I am seated above principalities. I am seated far above defeat. In this covenant, I am reigning like King. This life is for the redeemed. Say I am the redeemed. I have victory, victory in Jesus. I have victory, victory in him. I have victory, victory in Jesus. I have victory, victory, victory. We've won by your blood. We overcome every day by your blood. We have won. It's by your blood we overcome. I have victory, victory every day.
There's a song that's out right now that says that Jesus, he wears the victor's crown. Well, think about that. If he's wearing the victor's crown, what are you and I wearing? We're wearing the victor's robe and we're wearing the victor's crown too because we're his body. Amen. So we're not trying to be victorious. We just are. And so I'm not, oh, I'm trying so hard. No, I'm victorious. Do you know that champions have a different language? Champions walk away from a game with a different language, don't they? Losers walk away looking at what they could have done, what they should have done. They go away analyzing and self-focused. But what do victors do? They just go away shouting. They don't care what happened. They're just glad they got it. Amen? They walk around with the trophy, and they hold that trophy up high. Well, how much more should you and I be carrying our trophy up high, our trophy of victory, our trophy of we have overcome? Amen? Praise God. Say, I have overcome. Amen. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have to remind ourselves of that. I know as kids, you know, there's certain scriptures you put in your children. You want them to know. You want them to repeat those words. You want them to have in their heart, like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, if it's good for the toddler, it's good for the middle-aged person too. Amen. And greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world.
He is the greater one, and he's living on the inside of us. And that means he's greater than any financial situation. He's greater than your past. He's greater than whatever would try to ail you and pull you off of your path. He is greater, amen? He's greater than all of these things. He's greater than anything we see, amen? He is the greater one, and we can say that because we're the body of Christ. He's in us because we're his. We belong to him. You are forever, eternally connected to your Father God. You are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and who he is flowing inside of you and I. His power, his love, his wisdom is resident on the inside. Why? Because we're his body. We're the body of Christ. Praise God. And all of that's because of the great, great sacrifice that Jesus paid for us with his blood. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands right now and thank him for the blood of Jesus. Thank him that he's made us a part of the body of Christ. Lord, we glorify you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you've made us one with you today. And from that place, we speak. From that place, we reign. From that place, we rule. From that place of victory. In you, by you, and through you. By the blood of the risen Son, I am washed. Yes, I've been made one with him. I'm joined, united, I'm covenant minded. Body. We are the body of Christ, and we're clothed with his glory and light. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We reign. Sing it with me. It's by the blood of the risen Son. It's by the blood of the risen Son. I am washed. Yes, I've been made one with him. Joined, united. Joined, united. I'm covenant minded. I'm his member. A member of his body.
We are the body of Christ.
again. Say, from a place on high, I reign. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you that, yes, we are seated tonight. Each and every one of us, every child of God, blood-bought child of God, is seated on high tonight, a place where we look out and our perspective is different from the world because we've now been seated in heavenly places. And so we take our seat and we take our place and we look on with our new perspective, with the glasses, so to speak, of redemption. And the glasses of redemption, they see victory. The glasses of redemption, they see in faith. The glasses of redemption, they look away from all that will distract, and they look through the truth that has set us free. And the truth that has set us free is that we are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And we are seated in heavenly places even this night and every day of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this service tonight. I thank you for utterance. I thank you for this people, for this body, for these pastors, for this assignment that you have for this region. And I thank you, Father, that you have something to say to us tonight and you have things to do. And so we align ourselves with you. We align ourselves with your voice and we speak what you say and we do only what we see you do for your glory and your honor, that your will may be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, again, it's such an honor to be here. I'm so thrilled. Anytime that I get to share the word, be entrusted with the people, God's people. The shepherd watched so carefully over their flock, and they're careful about what is given and delivered. And so it is a great responsibility. But we trust that the Lord has given us what he would have for you tonight. And so if you would, just as we're beginning tonight, let's turn in our Bibles to a very familiar passage. I would say Mark 11:23, but I would be joking. I will not be speaking on Mark 11:23. Because you know that's what every Rhema preacher says right after they say familiar passage. Okay, this is another one. We'll leave that for Brother Hagen and the others. Ephesians 1. We're going to start with Ephesians 1 tonight. And this has just been a theme, as you can see, all if you listen to the CD, there's five songs, original songs that the Lord gave us. But a constant theme throughout the CD is the reality of who we are in Christ. And this is not a new message. This is a message that has been preached. I believe it was one of the greatest revelations given to Paul. He said that it was made known to him by direct revelation, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. Aren't you glad that Christ is in you and he is the hope of glory? Hallelujah. If you're ever discouraged, just think about that. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Man, no believer should ever be without hope when they know that Christ, who is the hope of glory, is living, is residing on the inside of them. Christ is in me. Say, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And this is not just a theological revelation or a teaching that we have. This is a reality. And this was the plan of God. The plan of God was that we all be united
started in Christ. The plan of God was that Christ was sent to bring unity and to reconcile all things in himself to the Father. And the wonderful thing about that is you and I get to be a part of that plan. You and I are a part. We're members of that body. And so that gives you great purpose. That gives you great hope about your life when you realize that God was in Christ reconciling and restoring Regina to favor with himself. Not just the world, but Regina, but Miss Kay, but Pastor Mark and Rhonda and whatever your name is, Kelvin. He was restoring you to favor in himself because that was his design and that was his plan and that was his purpose. And I believe that is the bedrock. That is the bedrock and one of the foundational truths for successful Christian living. I'm not talking about just being a success like, you know, what the world terms success. I mean, living out the plan of God for your life. Knowing who you are in him and having an understanding of what was wrought through the blood of Jesus and what it did for you and I, it positions us for success in the kingdom of God. Success according to heaven's standards. And so there are a lot of success messages out there. There are a lot of success messages out there, and we should be successful as Christians. I don't have anything against that, but our focus should not just be based upon the success according to man's standards and what the world would deem successful. But when we focus on the Word of God and becoming who he's called us to be, who he's created to be, we know in Joshua, the first chapter in the 8th verse, he said if he would meditate in the Word of God day and night, night and day and night, night and day, meditate in that Word, that he would have good success. He would be prosperous and he would fulfill, so to speak, the plan that God has for his life. Well, you and I are no different. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. He has a purpose and a function for us. In order to do that, we have to first of all recognize who we are in him so then I can become all he has always intended for me to be. Amen? Praise God. And so I love how Paul talks about this, how he talks about the body and how that each member brings a supply to the body. Just as in your body, you know, what your hand is to your wrist is to your forearm and all the joints and the ligaments that it takes for our bodies to function well, healthy and whole, and for us to be able to do the things that we need to do in life. So is the body of Christ, and each member has a function and has a part, and it's when all the members are functioning in their place the way God created them to function that's when the body begins to build itself up in love. That's when the body begins to function as the body was designed to function, strong and whole and free, and we begin to do and advance in all that God has intended for us to do. Amen? And so why I believe this is so important, why I believe the Holy Spirit is highlighting this in my life and ministry at this time and in the body is because we are in the last leg. We are and what things pick up. At the end of the race, what happens? Things pick up and you put your strongest runners in at the last leg of the race because there's a push to get to the finish line. Well, just as I believe it is that way in this time that we're in, that we're in the last leg of the race. And so there's a lot of the Holy Spirit is pulling us to come up. To come up and to come in alignment in these things so we can be strong, so we can move together in unity as one body, not just as, you know, Cornerstone, Word of Life, not just as Pastor Mark and Rhonda Garver, and whoever you would deem spiritual. I mean, it's for all of us to function.
in our full capacity, in the fullness of what he has ordained for us for this time, so that we can cross that finish line with strength and glory, because we're going to. We're right there. And so we are strong in him. So here in Ephesians, the first chapter, I've pretty much already preached all this out. Now let's look at the verse. Ephesians 1. And, you know, it's really important that we know who we are in Christ, that we have an understanding of the victory that's ours. But then, you know, sometimes we just need to know our function. Well, what's my function? What's my part? What's my supply? What am I to bring? Well, here's a key right here we find in Ephesians, the first chapter, in the 18th verse. And this is a prayer that the apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. And he says, have the eyes of your heart flooded with light. And I'm reading from the Amplified. So that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. He prayed this. I pray that your eyes would be flooded light with light so that you might know the hope to which he has called you, specifically what your function, what your purpose is, and that you might know how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so God is opening the eyes of his people. He's opening our eyes so that we can see what our purpose is, what our function is, not so we can just say, oh, isn't that great? This is my part. No, it's so that we will apply ourselves and give ourselves wholly in this time. Give ourselves wholly to the call. Give ourselves wholly to the cause. Give ourselves wholly to what he's put in our hands to do, so that we can grow up, so that we can come more and more into the knowledge of him. And he says in verse 19, so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable, the unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power that is in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Everybody say, far above. He seated him far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Praise God. And he has put all things under his feet. He's put all things under his feet. All things. All things. What does all mean to you? All things. All division. Amen. All oppression. Amen. All things. All disease. All things. All sickness. All things. All things. He has put under his feet. He has put it under his feet. Under his feet. You might, you know, we used to sing songs in the church I grew up in about the devil being under our feet. And we would look at our feet and we would dance and look at our feet and imagine under my feet. Okay, well, think about him being under Jesus' feet. I mean, under Jesus' feet is my feet, but picture Jesus' feet. He's put all things under his feet and appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure. In the body of Christ lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. If you're looking around and you're concerned about the times that we're living in, and I could see why, if you're looking too closely at what's happening in the world around us,
on all realms, on the national stage, on the international stage, politically, with leaders and the church world, all things. Wars, rumors of wars. Very strange weather patterns. All that we see. You could be so concerned. But he, the head of the church, is filling all things. He's not fueling those things. But he is the head, and he is in his place. Do you know he's not lost his place? He has not been shaken. He has not been removed. The power of Jesus and the power of the last days that we sang about earlier, that the whole earth is being filled with the glory of the Lord, that power is surging. It is active. If you could see in the realm of the Spirit the glory of the Lord because of Jesus, the head of the church, it's flowing through him and it's flowing through you and I. It is at full measure. Because it is where it is required for the time that we're living in. Because God is a good God, and he would not put us on this earth without what we need to fulfill our assignment and run our race in the time that we're in. And so there is full measure of equipment, of glory, of the presence of God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to soar and to excel. And if it is for the body as a whole, then guess what? It's for you and I too. We have everything that we need to do the will of God. We have everything that we need to do the will of the Father because of the power that is resident on the inside of us. Amen. Praise God. And so he's seeking for ways to grow us up and to move us into what he has for us. He's seeking for ways to get things to us and to get things through us because it's his desire to move in and through the body. We just read about it, that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power that is in us and for us who believe. It's not just in us and for us to work for ourselves. It's in us and for us to flow through us. It's to flow through you. It's to flow through me. And so just not recently, I'm reminded of a situation that occurred. I was out traveling on the road, and it was a type of meeting where I was not invited. I had an invitation from God, and so he was my host that week. And so he supernaturally provided for me a wonderful place to stay and a car to drive. A friend of mine, she heard I was coming in for this meeting. She said, "That's awesome." She said, "Why don't you stay at my place?" And she said, "You don't even have to rent a car." She said, "You just get a taxi ride from the airport to my house and use my car while you're in town and you're good to go." And I said, "That is awesome. I would love that." So then the deal was I just had to find a taxi. Well, I don't like to take taxis. That is not my favorite thing to do. I'm a rental car girl. I like to be in control of my circumstances. I like to know who's in the car with me. And so I didn't know who was going to be picking me up. So I had vowed to never use a certain car service. I won't say it, but it's an app you can put on your phone. And I had said, I do not do Uber. I said, "I do not do Uber." That is my phrase. I do not do Uber. And so, well, I found myself in a situation, and I had peace about doing Uber. So, but my head was all kinds of like crossways with it. It was like, "This is not Regina. This is not you. This does not fit me." So, but my heart had peace in it. So finally, you know, I had already kind of set up the ride. And I said, "Lord," I was packing my things. I said, "Holy Ghost," I said, "send me the right driver. Send me the right car. Send me the best car and the best driver." You know, I just put it out there and didn't think anything else about it. Well, this gentleman showed up, and he had a really nice car. And he looked nice, and he seemed nice, and I was so thankful. So I get into the vehicle with him. We have about a 20-minute ride to the airport, and his name was Ricky, and he was from the Congo. Well, we start talking about the Congo. Well, I know some missionaries in the Congo, and so conversation just began to roll. And so I found myself talking to him. I thought, I feel like I'm like in my ministry office right now, here in the back seat of the Uber car. What is going on? And I started just telling him, you know, God has a plan for everyone. There's not anyone who God does not have a plan for. And I said, he has great things, you know, that he wants to do in your life. And he began to share with me something he desired to do. And I said, well, where do you go to church? And he said, well, I've been going here and going there. He said, but usually I attend this particular place. I said, really? I said, well, do they teach salvation there? I've got 20 minutes. I may never see this guy again. So I said, do they teach salvation there? And he said, salvation, what is that? Well, there was my open door. And so I began to tell him very quickly, because I didn't have much time, about what salvation was. And I began to share with him the prayer of salvation. You can pray at any time. Receive Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. And that's when things will change for you. And that's when your purpose can become his purpose. And so we pulled up to the airport, and I was getting ready to ask him if he wanted to pray the prayer of salvation. But before I could, he said, would you pray with me? He said, would you pray with me? And I said, yes. I said, do you want to pray the prayer of salvation? He said, absolutely. Please pray the prayer of salvation. So we prayed real quick, got out. He like came out of the car like this towards me for a hug. I was like, I don't do Uber and I don't hug people I don't know. But that day I did Uber and I hugged the guy before I left. And I gave him one of my CDs. And so I can't even know, I floated into that airport. I was on cloud nine. He gave his life to Jesus, a very sharp young man. But God needed a vessel that he could flow through. He needed someone to take Uber. And so just be careful what you say no to. It could be the thing that you need to do to be his hands and his feet. But God is wanting to flow through us so that he can get us in position, so that he can get others in position. And sometimes that takes stepping into realms that you are uncomfortable with. It takes letting go of your comfort zone and stepping into the unknown. And sometimes that may mean taking an Uber car. Sometimes that may mean going all the way to China. But sometimes it's just going to a different grocery store. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just taking a different route. Sometimes it's staying a little longer somewhere and talking with people when your flesh would rather go home and put on your pajamas and be in the safety and the comfort of your own home. I can see that's hitting a lot of y'all. It's stepping out of your comfort zone and being where he's asking you to be. I had not been invited to that conference, but by God. And I was so thankful that I left with leaving a mark there in that town by his grace and through his power and his will. So it's all for his glory. But he wants to move us out beyond that where we've been so that he can do his will in the earth through you and through me. I thank God for your pastors. They're wonderful pastors. And thank God for how he's equipped them to equip you. How he puts gifts in the body to equip us. But they're not just to equip us to make us grow physically fit so we can say, wow, look how spiritual I am. Because I've been hearing the word and doing the word, and now look, my life is a praise to God in the earth. My life is a praise to God in the earth when I take the equipment that's been given me and I take it out and I begin to multiply it. Amen. And I begin to allow it to flow through me. Amen. And so one way that we do that is there are times where you have to step out of your comfort zone. You have to go places you don't want to go. You have to do things sometimes you don't want to do in your own self. And, you know, just the way that I even came to be a preacher, well, I guess I always was, it just how I developed in it. I was so terrified to talk in front of people. My parents were pastors when I was in high school. And I was on the praise team. And there was a time when just before the service, I would have this stirring of an exhortation in my heart. But when I would step out, I would either like break down in tears, you know, and everyone in the crowd's like, oh, bless her, Lord, bless her. And I was like, it ain't a blessing. I'm terrified, you know. I would break down into tears, or I just clam up and couldn't do a thing. And so just a couple years later, unbeknownst to me, the Lord put me on a crusade team singing and traveling with Brother Hagen, Kenneth Hagen Sr. I travel with Kenneth Hagen Jr. as well, and Reverend Craig Hagen too. But now I've gone from being in a little room with about 70 people to like 7 to 10,000. And those stirrings didn't go away. They just kept popping up. And I would see myself preaching, but I was oh so uncomfortable with that. My flesh was very uncomfortable with that. I was very, very happy to sing back up. Thrilled. I get to sing back up for Brother Hagen. I love it. It's wonderful. But then these stirrings came, and I would see myself preaching in my heart. I would have like, I don't want to call them like open visions. They weren't open visions, but they were just glimpses. And so the most dramatic, I would say, and it was at the beginnings of learning to preach and to step into my calling, was we were downtown at camp meeting, and they had their Tulsa summer camp meeting. And I had gone over to the hotel to lay down for a few minutes, and I could not sleep because my spirit was so stirred within me. And I had this stirring, and I saw myself exhorting about joy. And I saw the song service play out, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Surely that was just a figment of my imagination. I mean, camp meeting's really not a great place to debut your preaching gift when you haven't. And so sure enough, I show up that night, and we're on the stage, and the lead singer, he turns and says, so these are the songs we're doing. And they were the songs that I saw. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, who's doing the, you know, the intro in between? And they both looked at me, Richie and Philip, if they're watching my live stream. They both turned and they said, you got it? And I was just frozen. Well, long story short, they handed it to me. They gave it to me that night. But when it came my time to step out, I didn't. I could not, even with the demonstration of God, you know, like mini vision before the service, I mean, you'd think you'd be able to walk out and step out on a mini vision, but I was planted. And when it was my turn to go, everyone turned and looked at me, and I just stood there and smiled real big. And until they realized I wasn't going to step out, and so they took it. And I had to repent that night. Thank God for his mercies. But my whole point in that, and he is very merciful, my whole point in that is there are things that sometimes keep us from stepping into what the Lord is asking us to do. For me, that was a preaching ministry. For you, that may be something different. For all of us, it's something different. But whatever it is, it's so important that we lay that down. We have to lay those things down. And if you could turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we're gonna look here. It is the will of God, we've talked about this, that he wants to flow through his body. And so for you and I, we have to get rid of those things that would hold us back, those things that would distract. And here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says in verse 1 in the Amplified, therefore, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and the sin that so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to us and entangles us. And let us run. Let us
thus run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. So there is appointed course of the race, and I believe the race is the plan of God. The appointed course that is set before you is the plan of God for you, the plan of God for me. And in order to do that, we have to shake some things off. For me, I had to shake fear off. I mean, fear had a grip on me, and I had to take the word of God and apply it to that situation. And then I had to say, yes, I'll do it, when my flesh was screaming, no. And I had many opportunities after that. I won't take your time taking you through my whole journey to preaching, but you can see I got delivered. Amen. But he wants to rid our lives of those things that would keep us from running our race with fullness. Why? Because your race affects someone else's race, which affects someone else's race, which affects someone else's race. And whether it's a call to preach, a call to work in the ministry, a call to prepare food, a call to watch the babies, a call to serve your country, whatever that call is, it may seem meaningless to you, but it's very meaningful to him. Whatever he's prompting your heart to do is another step in the race that is set before you. And I need you to do your part, and you need me to do my part. Amen? Because that's what the body is. When one part of the body stops working, when the blood isn't flowing correctly, you have parts of the body that stop working as they should. And so that's why it's so important that we all find our place in the race and do our part so we can run together. Because I'm not independent of you. I may live in Oklahoma, but you know what? What you do affects many people. What I do affects many people. When I choose to stay in my comfort zone, there are things that are not going to be accomplished, or the Lord will call on someone else to do my job. I don't know about you, but I don't want him calling on someone else to do my part. That's kind of an insult. It's kind of an insult. But you know, he's going to have his way. And so I don't know about you, but I know for me, I want to do my part. I don't want somebody else doing my part. That's my part. It's my function. And it's what he desires to do through me. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. Somebody say, I have a purpose. Some of you need to be reminded that you have a purpose. And it is to come and to sit and to hear the word. But it doesn't stop there. You have great purpose. You have great purpose, and we need your part. And so finishing here, he says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith. Amen. Jesus is the leader and the source of our faith. He is the one who gives the commands. He is the head. And the head gives the commands to the body. And we take those commands. If I was thinking today about like a basketball game, and you have all these players, and then you have a coach. And I don't know if you've ever been in a live basketball game, but you know how those courts and those gyms can be so loud, and the sounds, they bounce off, and there can be so many voices yelling and screaming. You have the cheerleaders, you have the family, the parents in the stands, you know, yelling at the kids or the refs or whoever. You know, there are a lot of voices and a lot of sounds bouncing around, but there's one voice. There's one voice that those members need to be tuned to. And it's not the voice of mama, it's not the voice of daddy, and it's not the voice of the cheerleaders. It's the voice of the commander. It's the voice of the coach. That is the voice that they're taking their orders from. And in the last days, we have to do that. Just not too long ago, I was praying, and I kept hearing the phrase, full court press. Y'all know what that is. I had no idea what that was. I just knew it had something to do with basketball, so I had to Google it. And so I looked up full court press, and it's that time in the game when it's like all hands on deck, everybody's on, nobody's laying back, everybody's in. And that's the time we're in. It's a full court press.
nobody on the bench, everybody in, everybody doing their part. Amen? And so we see here, he says, looking away from all that would distract. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's so simple, but it's so truth and so powerful. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep our ears tuned to his voice, because Jesus is the one giving the instructions in these days. He is the one who knows what next step you need to take. He's the one who sees what lies ahead of you, and he's the one who has the wisdom you need for what you're called to do. He is the one who knew you before you were born, and he is the one who has read the book which was already written about you. He is the one, he is the voice we are to listen to. Jesus. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. 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 And so, praise God. He's the leader and source of our faith. He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author, and he is the finisher. Amen? Jesus. Jesus. He's the author. He authored you. He authored you. I had a grandpa. He made it into the gates of glory, like, as he was on his way out, and I'm so glad he did. But he had many things to overcome. And I said to him one day, I found this little picture frame. It said, everything created by God is good. Everything created by God is good. He's the author. And I told him, Grandpa, everything God created is good, and that means you. And you know, everything authored by God is good, and that means you. Everything that he has authored, he is able to keep and direct and protect, regardless of what lies may have told you otherwise. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Amen.